You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
They're through four at Wrigley, and the Cubs trail 4-1 to the Braves. They have been hit four more times today so far in this game.
And look, I mean,
they've been hit by a pitch more times today.
I don't think the rookie for the Atlanta Braves is throwing at them. I don't know how to explain it, but with a 4-1 lead, the last thing you want to do is put guys on base.
It's Javi. Javi's been hit twice, and Contreras got hit again.
It's some guy who I don't even know who he was for the Cubs.
Who was that pinch hitting who got hit, right?
Duffy.
That was Duffy.
So Duffy is back. I was wondering. I go, that looks like Duffy, but I thought he was, like, on the list.
I wouldn't know Duffy if he was sitting next to me with a Duffy jersey on.
So, yeah, he's back off the list. So we'll continue to monitor that. The David Ross is suspended today, right? He's not even managing. He had some interesting things to say before the game.
He's got to be thrilled by what he's seen.
That's what I mean. It's something. They talked all about that. All right, give me the list of Bears, and then if you want to weigh in on the win total. 7 is the over-under, at least the initial sportsbook in Vegas that came out with the totals. They have the Bears at 7. We would both go over that.
Do you want to see, you want their opponents?
Yeah, and so this is what Waddle's talking about, where a lot can change.
Yes.
Based on injuries, based on just teams unexpectedly being bad in the NFL, which happens all the time. And all of a sudden, a team who was picked to be bad is good, like the Bears maybe. And But still, you think it's a meat grinder of a schedule.
You're going to get, obviously, two games with each of your division opponents. You're going to get two against the Lions, two against the Packers, two against the Vikings. You're going to get the Arizona Cardinals. You're going to get the...
Where are the Cardinals?
Cardinals Soldier Field.
Okay.
Cardinals so George.
You got the Cardinals at Soldier Field. You've got the 49ers at Soldier Field.
Uh-oh, George.
That'll be better.
You've got the Ravens at Soldier Field.
Uh-oh, George.
That's you've got the
game.
Bengals at Soldier Field.
Uh-oh, George.
Now, depending on how Joe Burrow's health is, right? I mean, do you expect him to be back and cooking early?
The dates haven't been set for these opponents, so I'm not 100% sure. But I think the hope is he'll be ready to go week one.
We usually get this at the end of April. Don't we usually get schedules end of April? COVID may be different.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But hopefully we'll get the schedule coming out soon.
You're going to get the Bengals at Soldier Field. You're going to get the Giants at Soldier Field.
Okay. Uh-oh, George.
You're going to get the Browns in Cleveland.
Uh-oh, George.
The Browns are good.
Yes. You're going to get the Rams in Los Angeles.
Uh-oh, George.
You're going to get the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Uh-oh, George.
You're going to get the Seahawks in Seattle.
Uh-oh, George.
You're going to get the Bucks in Tampa.
Uh-oh, George.
And you're going to get the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Now, the one thing that did catch my ear are the road games and of course, the uh-oh, George. But the road games, I don't know if you would handicap any of those games today. A lot can change. We know this.
Okay. They wouldn't be a favorite in any
of them. I don't think they'd be a favorite in any road game.
Would they be a favorite in any home game besides the Lions, maybe?
Well, the Giants. I didn't mention the Lions.
Right. I'm talking about the non-division opponents. Yeah. I think the Giants, they'd be a home favorite.
Did the Bears beat the Giants this year?
They did, barely. Yeah. Remember, they were driving, and I think Daniel Jones, didn't they turn the ball over? He threw an end zone pick.
Something happened, but the Bears jumped out to a lead, and you're right, the Giants came back.
The Giants had the ball. They ran out of time, I believe it was. Yeah. Is the clock expired.
Officially put me down as for an under.
So you're under seven.
If it was seven and a half, I'd feel more comfortable.
For you to win that bet, they have to lose 11 times.
Did you watch the Bears this season?
Yeah, but they were, and even with a 6-game losing streak, and a one game less.
What if they still added? What if they added this year? They've literally only subtracted.
I know, but they usually don't suck.
But they got worse.
They're going to win.
I think they got better at quarterback.
They're going to win some games late.
Okay,
and
they got marginally better at quarterback.
They got a little better at quarterback.
A little bit better.
You were right too. Remember the Giants went on a 13-play drive to end the game, and then they got lucky in that game.
Yeah. They got lucky early on with their quick start. Like everyone was saying, hey, Matt Nagy's off to this great start, blah blah blah. But remember, the Detroit game was a gift in the opener.
Yeah,
in Detroit was a gift. Now, they got payback because they blew a 10-point lead late in the year, so they evened out.
You're proving Sylvie's point, or Adam's point, that like if you look at some of these, I'm with you. They'll find a way because they're a 500 team. They're a 500 team.
I think so, too. I that's tough. 6-11, that's really bad.
So remember it again. Like, 7 is a push. Right? It's not 7.5. It's 7.
They were two lucky plays away from losing two more games last year.
You're right.
Like, remember?
But they still should have won the Detroit game, too, at home. They didn't, so that sort of evens it out.
Adam, I'm picking them with a losing record at 8-9. That's a losing record.
I struggle to find 6 wins on that schedule.
Peter thinks I'm high. Peter, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Sylvie, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Peter. Good to talk to you.
Great. It's really refreshing to hear you back in the studio. But I think you went into a Caps edibles drawer. 8 wins? By reading the schedule, maybe 2 or 3.
It's still, I'm picking them sub 500, like Waddle said. 8-9 is not anything to write home about.
Currently constructed, the way we're going with Andy Dalton, we are a maybe 3-win team.
Oh, no.
I'll bet you anything on that.
I'll give you odds.
Oh, George.
On that.
I'll take the bet, and I'll send Miami goods from here.
Okay.
Right. Okay, and I'll send you 2 of something that you want. I'll give you 2-to-1 odds on that, that they win more than 3.
Currently constructed. If they go trade for Deshaun Watson, that changes. But I doubt it.
Yeah, what are these Chicago things? Are you saying you want, like, hot dogs and pizza?
No, you're going to send him some jardiniere?
And a beef?
You're going to send him a beef?
There you go.
You're going to send him one of our potholes?
Like a
send him the bean.
Get that bean out of here.
I've warmed up to the bean. Initially, when the bean first came out, I'm like, what's this thing in Millennium Park?
Cloudgate sounds like a scandal. It doesn't sound like an attraction.
Yeah, that's why we call it the bean. Thanks, Peter. There goes Peter. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie in Hoffman Estates. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
I don't know about you guys, but aren't you guys kind of tired of the narrative that Matt Nagy helped the Chiefs pick Patrick Mahomes? So you're telling me this guy helped the Chiefs rank the quarterbacks, whether Patrick, Deshaun, and then Mitch. And he takes the job with the team with the worst, the guy he said was the worst of those three. He's going to take that coaching job?
Well, the other two jobs weren't available. Andy was in one of them, and Bill O'Brien was in the other one.
Well, he could have gone to the Colts, though.
Exactly.
That's true.
The Bears wasn't the only open job at that time. But I feel like Matt Nagy he's like that guy in college where he gets credit for just showing up to class. He's part of that group where he just wrote his name on it and he got an A.
Listen, Eddie, I think it's fair skepticism. I feel very confident about what transpired with regard to what his thoughts were back then.
He was the quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
He was the future offensive coordinator. I will say this, though, that on the other side of it, they had a lot of smart football guys.
No doubt. Brett Veach.
Brett Veach is the guy who's their GM. Andy Reid and John Dorsey was there, too.
No doubt.
So you had 3 really good evaluators.
Yes, but like, for me, it's not hindsight. I have a pretty good feel that Matt was on board and was also part of the group that had Patrick Mahomes rated.
Right. You said this, that if he was in the Bears office the year they were drafting, he would not have drafted Mitch over those other
things. I believe that firmly.
Yeah. Scott and Wheaton, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, Sylvie.
Hi.
I heard you talk to you guys forever, never called in. But you just made a comment when you were talking about the win total for the Bears that Andy Dalton was better than Mitch Trubisky. And I'm wondering what metrics you're looking at that says that, because everything I look at says he's not very good.
Yeah, look, I think he can be okay in this system. I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying on the scale of Mitch Trubisky and what Mitch did and how he's been benched. And I think the cohesion, and I don't want to bring up the collaboration, but I think Dalton in this system will be better than Mitch Trubisky in 2020, not 2018. I'm not talking about maybe he can give you a 2018 Mitch Trubisky year.
And you know, football is the most team oriented sport there is.
Sure,
everybody has to do their job. if you look at when Dalton's been behind an average to poor line, he's been terrible. Same with Nick Foles. Nick Foles had a Super Bowl year when he played behind the number one line in football. Carson Wentz had an MVP season going when he played behind the number one line in football.
They also had a great running game in Philadelphia.
The line is not very good. He's not going to perform behind the line. And neither did Nick Foles. This Foles showed you what he is when he's playing behind a poor line.
Remember, though,
this team
Scotty,
never played behind a good line.
They stabilized the line a bit, at least on the interior, at the end of the year. They're probably going to draft a tackle early. I hate you put me in a weird position, Scott. You've put me in an awkward position here on camera because I have to defend Andy Dalton. And as you know, Scott, listening to this show, I am not an Andy Dalton defender.
Except I'm not asking you to defend him. You made a comment that he was better than Mitch, and I don't think there's any stat out there that says playing behind a poor line, he's even as good as Mitch was.
Well, what stat are you referencing, Andy or Scott, that says the opposite?
Well, I'm looking at his career performance, and then if you look at the ranking for the line that he had that year.
Whose career
years,
performance?
He always had a number five, top five line when he put up good numbers. If you look at his numbers when he's had, a mediocre to bad line, he is a bottom quarter quarterback.
Well, this offense was, 23rd, 29th, and then 24th with Mitch as their starter for the majority of the three seasons?
You've got that in front of you. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying.
I didn't research that right. I think that's kind of in the ballpark for it.
Scotty, have you bought the number 8 Trubisky jersey in Bill's colors yet?
No, I'm not saying I'm a huge Trubisky fan. I'm just saying what they've done. You know, Foles was a mistake, obviously.
Yep.
And if you look at his career, it mirrors exactly what Dalton did. When he has a good line, when he has a top line, he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. When he had a top line, he was a Super Bowl quarterback. When he's played behind poor lines, he's been bad.
Like a lot of quarterbacks, right. Especially right.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Right,
and Andy Dalton follows the same list.
Sure.
If you're expecting him to outperform Mitch next year behind, maybe their line will improve.
And again, Scott, it's 2020 Mitch. I'm not going back to 2018 and because it obviously since 2018 and in the back half of 2018, Mitch was even a different quarterback in the back half of 2018 than he was in the front half when they started. And then in 2019 and 2020, it has trended down.
Listen, I think we're splitting hairs at this point.
Sylvia, are you a Dalton defender?
I know.
Are you a Dalton defender?
What is he, 14? Is that what he is? Get me a Dalton jersey.
Is that what we're calling him? Trubisky truthers? Dalton defenders?
I am a Dalton defender.
Do I think he is going to be an elite quarterback? No. Is there a chance that he can execute the offense more efficiently than Mitch? Yeah, there is a chance that... You know, that's not a stretch.
We could use the old Defender video game, illustration and put it a little redhead on the spaceship.
This is exactly why I didn't want either.
Shooting footballs out?
Dalton Defender.
They don't go that far?
Pew, pew, pew. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
Again, for the record, nobody wanted either.
Right. Scotty put me in an awkward position. All right, so we have a new feature as we count down the days till the NFL draft. We're just under 2 weeks away from the first round. Waddle is going to tell you in the next 10 shows his top 10 big board for the NFL draft.
Got
the way he is ranked,
here.
The 10 best players in the draft will start at 10 today, work our way up to number 1, but you'll get the 10th best player, not according to Mel. Not according to McShay.
Take that, McShay.
Not according to Ryan Pace.
Take that, Ryan.
Not according to Bill Belichick.
Take that, Bill.
But according to Tom Waddle, and it's next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Shout out to Randy Merkin, by the way. Randy, I just finished a nice sandwich. I don't eat many sandwiches these days.
Why not? Sandwiches are good.
I'd rather put the calories, those bad calories, in a pizza.
Or in a vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My drinking.
Yeah. But like you had one sandwich.
Has
Danny Zenderman changed you to the point where you can't have a sandwich once a week?
No, I'm a fat ass. So, I'm trying to watch the carbs a little bit.
Well, maybe cut that 4-foot sandwich in half and only have 2 feet of it.
It was a 12-incher, and it was prosciutto and mozzarella with some tomatoes. Very good bite. And I love that Randy Merkin's a quick pay guy. Not everyone at the radio station is a quick pay.
Has that been resolved yet?
No, nothing. One of the first things that someone said to me when I walked into the first Midwest Bank studio was a great teammate of ours, who you know, who is also in the league. And he said, "Hey, Sylvie, how you doing? By the way, I haven't gotten a send from Meller either." So we're all on. And I even made reference to it in the text chain. But Merkin sent out a text chain for all the sandwiches that he owed.
Yeah.
And he said, "What's everyone's order?" And I go, "Quick pay guy. Everyone loves a quick pay guy." So
I just don't buy shaming you for having a sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't sit down and eat a pie from Baker Square.
Oh, that would be good, though.
Okay, but you had
a good
sandwich.
Pie from
and how many sandwiches
Baker
have you had this week?
None.
Okay.
No, I haven't had a sandwich.
So, you know, stop with your belly aching about one sandwich during the week.
Get in my belly. It was good.
That is silly.
So here's what we've got going. The draft is 2 weeks from tomorrow as far as the way it starts. We are going to give you Waddle's big board.
Big board. I got a big board for you.
So these are not who he is. Again, this isn't according to the other guys. This is according to Waddle.
And
this
is my top 10 players.
And this is not your projections on who goes 1, 2, 3, 4.
No,
this is not about Waddle getting the top 10 right. Yeah. This is about who he deems the 10 best in the draft.
That is right. I did not travel to any college football games this year. I did all my scouting on television. I have not attended a pro day. Okay? I'm no college football expert, but I have a big board.
You have a football brain as well.
I have a board of 10 guys from 10 to 1. The 10 best players that I saw in college football this year so far. Don't stress out. You're going to puke your sandwich up. Okay? You're going to puke your sandwich up.
Just have them through 5. You know? Just... So
Willie's pimping that home run.
Yeah,
get it, Willie.
He's throwing
you
out a batter. He's
pimp that thing.
He been hit by a pitch.
Pimp that thing.
Yeah, you did. You jinxed. Yeah, I still got a 2-run cushion. I made a 5-inning bet against the Cubs today, so they're down 4-2 right now.
This is going to teach you.
And I said to you during the break, have you ever felt more confident in a bet cashing with a 3-run lead?
And I did feel confident, but I didn't like the jinx.
Yeah, sorry.
And then the other day, too, the only Cub game they've won recently is the one that I bet against them in Milwaukee when Willie hit the home run, too. All right, so
you want my 10?
No,
player number 10.
You give us, so you're giving us a player a day.
Yes.
You can see that player and all the rest of the players as we unveil them daily on the Waddle and Sylvie Instagram page, correct, Abdallah? Yep. That's where it's going. It's going up on the gram. It's going on the Waddle and Sylvie page. Waddle has a personal page on there. It's TommyBoy87. Because I think you're TWaddle87 on Twitter. You're TommyBoy87 on Instagram.
Thank you.
I am Mark A. Silverman on Instagram, and that's M-A-R-C, the middle initial, A, Silverman.
All right, so I have listed the 10 best players in the draft from 10 to 1. Today I'm giving you player number 10.
Okay.
I did not do this, as you said, by position. I didn't do it by how I think they're going to be drafted. These are just the 10 best players in this year's draft, according to me. At number 10, I have Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. Mac Jones threw for 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, and just 4 interceptions this year. Some look at Mac Jones and say, well, in today's game, you got to be a little more athletic than Mac Jones is. I think that is a fair criticism of Mac Jones. He's not nearly as athletic as Justin Fields or the kid from BYU or Trey Lance or Trevor Lawrence. But the game can still be played from the pocket. And if you watched a lot of Alabama football this year, you did see Mac Jones have the capacity to shuffle up into the pocket, to shuffle a little to the left, to the right. Physically, he's got enough athleticism, in my mind, to play this position at the next level. He's got tremendous feel. I thought the accuracy was very good this year. Obviously, he is surrounded by a ton of talent. There aren't a ton of tight window throws that need to be made because a lot of his guys are wide ass open. But what I saw this year from him was truly very impressive. As I said, 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And what do we say about performing on the biggest stage under the brightest lights?
We love it.
Okay, so
we want to see football players play really good football, right?
That is correct.
Instead of just measuring things.
That is correct. So we saw him in the national championship game against Ohio State go 36 for 45 for 464 yards. That's an 80% completion clip. He averaged 10 yards per completion. He threw 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. The game before, in the semifinal game against Notre Dame, you saw them score 31 points. He was 25 of 35 for 297. That's an 83 completion percentage, 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. So in the college football playoff situation, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions, and completed better than 80% of his passes. Biggest stage under the brightest lights. Yes, he's got more talent around him than most guys. But then again, I have him at 10, and there's a really good chance there are other quarterbacks on my list that I have ranked higher than
right,
him.
Right.
So I'm telling you that he can't come in and beat you with his legs, but he does have enough athletic ability to shuffle up and to climb the pocket, to get to his right, get to his left. And I kind of like what I saw from him. Not kind of. I really liked what I saw from him. I think if he finds a good system and they plan for him correctly, he's going to have a very nice NFL career. So quarterback position is very important in this league. I got Mac Jones, quarterback of Alabama, at number 10 on my big board.
How's your grading scale work? You grade them? What do you do? You grade them on 100-point scale?
They're beers.
Sliding scale? What are you doing?
Yeah, beers. Like draft beers.
How many beers then?
5 draft beers is the top.
That's the top. Okay.
Top. If you are the top of the top, you get 5 draft beers.
So what is Mac Jones then?
He's 4 draft beers.
Oh, just 4, not 4 point something.
No, he's 4 draft beers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
4 draft beers.
4 draft beers.
Yeah.
I like it. So that's number 10. Check out the Waddle and Sylvie Instagram page. A lot of fun stuff on there as well.
You guys have anybody? Like, I'm welcoming comments.
Do
I have him too low? Do I have him too high?
No, I think you have Mac Jones rated appropriately. You know how I feel about Mac Jones. He's got a special place in my heart. As you know, winning a national championship this
year.
You're
a biased Alabama fan.
I'm a biased Alabama fan, but I will agree that he's not the best. I'm not saying take him over Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or maybe even Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, but I think that when you, like you said, when you perform and set records at a program of Alabama stature and you win a national championship and you learn under Steve Sarkisian for a few years, who's a great offensive coordinator and now the coach of Texas, and you learn from the quote process of Nick Saban, it says something about you. And Devontae Smith's great, and yeah, he won a Heisman. Someone does have to throw him those footballs, though. Like, I'm not saying that Mac Jones, but Mac Jones was under consideration for the Heisman as well.
I thought his touch and his accuracy was very good. His feel for the game, his awareness in the pocket, I thought it was all very good this year.
Late in the season, towards the end of the season, he was number 1 in completion percentage when under pressure, and in accuracy.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, so check that out. And Mac Jones, player number 10. On Monday, we will give you player number 9. George is in Wicker. George, you're on ESPN 1000. How's Wicker Park these days? I miss that neighborhood.
It's fantastic, Sylvie. How are you doing?
It's good. Good to hear from you.
Good, good. Hey, man, I just had to call in and bust your chops a little bit. On that last caller, you said that, Dalton was going to be better than Trubisky, and that we were going to draft a lineman early to shore it up and give him some room to work. I just want to ask, how are we going to shore up the line early if we move up in the draft to get a quarterback like you've been talking about? Because I don't see us having the draft capital to get a lineman in the first round and a quarterback in the first round.
No, of course not. No, of course not then. All bets are off if they go up. But I don't believe as much as Waddle that they're going up. But
I don't know if they'll be able to execute the trade either. I don't know if anybody will take their money.
Yeah, and I don't think we should go up. I think we should be looking. I know he's been coming up the draft board lately, but I've been on Kellen Mond since, I don't know, week 5 from A&M. I know he's been climbing up the draft board, but he'd be a good target for like a Dak Prescott third round kind of guy.
Yeah, look, I'm all for that, George. Look, on a scale of the five draft beers scale, how confident am I that the Bears line will be above average?
Probably above average.
Above average, probably a 1.2 beers is where I'm at on a scale.
I liked what I saw last year at the end when they helped the interior of their line, but like I'm with you. I have skepticism that they'll fix what's on the edge.
Like to be an average line, I have more confidence in that. We'll see. I like the three guys in the middle now, with Daniels coming back. And then you also, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the center from Notre Dame, who they
Mustipher.
Like. Yeah, Mustipher, who established himself. Where will Bars play with Daniels coming back?
Look, I don't think it's outrageous either that when you make the statement, Andy Dalton, you think will be better than Mitch this year. I don't think that's an outrageous statement. I'm not suggesting that you're telling people that he will have a spot next to Aaron Rodgers on the NFC Pro Bowl team. But I don't think it's a huge reach to say that Andy Dalton could be as good or better than Mitch or slightly better than Mitch. I just don't think that that's ridiculous. Let's not put Mitch on, on a level where you were really impressed with what you saw.
What I said is he will be better than 2020 Mitch, because we were talking about the win totals for the Bears. And Abdallah says how they get better. And I said they got a little better at quarterback than Mitch. And I'm talking about 2020 Mitch. 2020 Mitch, only threw for 2,000 yards. Some of the other things don't look terrible, but he also was benched for a guy that they wanted in that offense, and then he ultimately was worse and came back.
Potato, potato. It's...
We've got Waddle's World coming up. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Yeah, come on in. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Sylvie's a happy man because his Cubs lost his bet. Or won his bet.
Yeah.
Or did you win your bet?
Well, I bet against the Cubs. DraftKings, it is special today. They had a 50% odds boost, I believe it was. Or no, they put it at +150. Either team you can bet on to have the lead after five innings. So they boosted those odds from like -108 to like up to +150.
And when Javi swung and missed at a ball in the dirt, I don't think I've ever seen you celebrate
Bad moment.
It looked like the 2016 final out in Cleveland when the Cubs won the World Series. It was the same celebration.
No, it was.
Yes, it was.
It was.
Guys,
not.
Did you see him in here?
And I tweeted someone else.
He lifted his shirt up. He was rubbing his boobs.
Rubbing my big boobs and my belly. But I said to someone on Twitter who also took the same bet and also bet against the Cubs, I said, I'm all in for supporting them emotionally. I will never emotionally leave my Cubs. But right now, I cannot financially support them as far as any bet. So that's why I bet against them. And that's why I'm a few bucks richer today.
There you go. You made an investment. I don't blame you.
It's a business. By the way, did you see this too?
You'll give it back when you buy one of those 17, 18 seats. Whatever they, what are they?
What? 1914 club?
Yeah.
17, 18 seats?
Whatever. I don't know what it is.
Why are the Jazz playing an afternoon game in Utah today?
Guys, I love the NBA, and I have no idea.
There was an injury, Sylvie was telling me.
Yeah, no? Donovan Mitchell, he was up in the air and came down and twisted his ankle, but all of his weight landed on the ankle that was twisted. It looked pretty bad. He had to be helped off the court just minutes ago in the Jazz and Pacers, and I have no idea why they're playing right now.
Yeah, I was wondering. Like, I know Minnesota had been playing because of the problems there and everything going on. But I was wondering.
Three-night doubleheader?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Three-quarter games?
They're playing a three-and-a-half-quarter game.
I'll look into it. I have no idea.
There's got to be a reason.
Wouldn't you say that it's got to be something COVID-related?
Yeah, probably.
But those games have been pushed to later at night so they can get the testing and stuff done.
Yeah. Google that. But Donovan Mitchell, I mean, look, and they're really good. Donovan Mitchell's really good. And Donovan Mitchell, as Woj says, too, like Black saw it. I haven't seen it yet. But as Woj put it, too, Mitchell turned his right ankle in a pretty severe way.
Speaking of COVID, the Colorado Avalanche have three games postponed after a third player enters COVID-19 protocols. So they will not play until at least, I guess, this Thursday of next week. I mean, they're on hold right now.
Okay.
All right, here's the answer that I've found. So tomorrow on ESPN, the Jazz play the Lakers. So it's a nationally televised game at 2:30 local time in Salt Lake. So they're playing early now to allow them to have the time to fly to Los Angeles and then be ready for the game tomorrow.
Right. They couldn't play a 7 o'clock home game and then play another 2 o'clock game.
So it's scheduling based on the nationally televised game tomorrow.
Okay.
Still strange.
Gave them okay. Yeah, it is. Two matinees.
Do you guys see this? This news was available yesterday, and as usual, I skipped it because I'm stupid. Michael Jordan
We had an hour. I mean, that's why.
In Two Waddles World yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for help. I appreciate both of you guys coming to my support.
You think if we had more than an hour and there was Michael Jordan news that Sylvie wouldn't have dedicated an entire segment
you
to
know it?
Not just Waddles
World. I don't know.
Put a 23 on my belly.
What?
Put the number 23 on my belly and to honor Michael.
Well, you can do that right now if you want. Yeah, I get you a marker. I got a marker. Michael will be the presenter for Kobe Bryant's induction into the Hall of Fame, which is cool. That's just very cool.
Do you think the Hall of Fame will do anything else special for Kobe? Something. He is just such a one of the all-time great players, and because of what happened, the tragedy.
But I'm not sure.
This made me happy to see that. Yeah. Michael's.
I thought his presentation at Staples Center was
at
the memorial was very good as well.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was very good to see. Dwayne Wade has in fact purchased some ownership in the Jazz, not the Jags, the Jazz. Purchase an ownership stake, joining majority owner and governor Ryan Smith with plans to take an active role in the franchise and in the region. Quote, this goes way beyond the dream I had to just play basketball in the NBA, Wade told Woj from ESPN. If this partnership is going to be anything like my relationship is with Ryan, there are going to be a lot of things that I want to be involved in. So Heat owner Mickey Aronson tweeted his congratulations to Wade and said they'd discussed having Wade join their ownership group, but at the time, Wade was not ready to commit.
Okay.
So now he is
like
part
Michael,
of the Jazz.
Right, where he's starting somewhere else. All right, go ahead. I had something and then I lost
it. Did you lose it? Because you were worried about drawing a 23 on your belly.
I was.
GM Nick Caserio says the Texans are respecting the legal process with regard to Deshaun Watson and what's going on around him. In his first press conference since the first lawsuit was filed against Watson, Caserio said the team is respectful of the legal process and that he doesn't have any comment on the situation.
So here's a question, and this is way more than just a rushed Waddles World, so maybe we could go into more detail later. Do you believe when this all started, when Deshaun Watson started asking to be traded and telling them he will not play for them.
That he knew this was happening?
They all knew that this was happening behind the scenes.
I would say no.
No?
But that's a huge speculation. I don't know. I'm assuming he knew of what was being claimed before we knew.
Like maybe he wanted them to stand up for him. And they're like, look, we got to let the legal process play out. And then that caused him to call them unloyal and wanting a trade. No.
No, this was, I think, to me, and again, we are all more than an arm's length away from this. This was about them trading, DeAndre Hopkins and then firing the coach and not giving him any
input. They sat down with him.
Right.
But do you think Nick Caserio is kicking himself over not trading him now, of what he could have gotten if they didn't know then, like you say, Do you think Nick Caserio is really kicking himself?
I mean, that's a loaded question because if none of this happens, I think Nick Caserio wants Deshaun Watson to be his quarterback because he's a fabulous player.
Right.
So.
But now.
Well, he's not worth. First of all, you can't trade him.
No. I mean, who's going to trade for him now? Like, you got to find out more stuff.
No, I don't think that. I don't. Like, you can say, well, now he's not only is he not tradable, but he's a commodity that for us, I don't even know if he's going to be available.
Right.
He may not even be available to us. So, I mean. But I thought all along that the Houston Texans, the appropriate or the preferred choice was to find a way to keep him happy and find common ground. That's what I always thought would have been the best situation. Did you see Marshawn Lynch has joined the soccer ownership ranks?
See, this is what I mean. They're all buying stuff. All these former athletes, like A-Rod, that was the thing that I was going to bring up too. A-Rod with the T-Wolves. And how about the breakups back on now?
Yeah,
again.
That's not surprising. Yeah, that's not surprising. He's part of the ownership group of the Oakland Roots of the USL Championship.
It's cool.
Yeah. So, all good. All good. Marshawn Lynch is in an ownership group.
That's a soccer team, you said?
It is, yes.
Don't the Fire, a listener wanted me to preview the Fire
weekend,
game. Yeah, they start, is it tomorrow? That they're playing it, and is it at Soldier? Let me know where it is. Freddie said he's going to talk about it on his show.
Freddie Huebner.
And this one listener of ours, they said, hey, Waddle and Sylvie, could you guys mention the Fire today as we're all excited to start their season?
Well, just fulfilled that wish because you just mentioned
the Fire. Very little information about them, though, other than knowing that they're going to be playing sometime in the next day or two.
By the way, tomorrow night at 7:30 at Soldier Field against the New England Revolution.
Well, are fans allowed here? What's the status on the outdoor?
Fans, I believe, will be allowed at a small capacity. Their last two matches against the New England Revolution in 2020, they drew. And then in their last match, they lost 2-1. To the New England Revolution.
It's always been a good rivalry, the Revolution and the Fire. When they get together, you throw the records out the window.
Please elaborate.
Well, when it's 0-0 anyway, you can probably throw all the records out
you
the
like
window.
You like the matchups?
I do. Right. Yes. And I think the right now on defense, the Fire have it going.
Excellent.
I would say they don't, but that's okay. Bet the over.
Oh, you always bet the over in MLS.
Oh,
games.
MLS is back, baby. You know where you know where like it love it's gonna
well,
be.
Yeah. I mean, like
we go to Saturday.
I don't know
a lot of goals.
I don't know what history tells us, but I just know that Adam, one of his mottos in life is
bet the over. How will the pitch be playing though? Is it a slow pitch at Soldier?
How will the pitch be playing?
Right, because usually the track ain't that good at Soldier.
I don't know how they've mowed the grass. I'm not sure. I don't know what the traction will be like.
Usually a longer pitch. Sylvie's right. Yeah,
they keep it. Try to slow it down a little bit.
Well,
maybe they'll run the sprinkler system tonight.
No, they do the same thing Northwestern does. They keep the grass a little taller, so everybody's a little slower.
Yeah. Have they picked up the Bears poop from Soldier Field since January?
What do you think
Andy Dalton's been doing for a month?
I don't believe the Bear poop has been taken off the field. Hey, speaking of Bear poop, when we come back, I've got some nonsense and a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Do you like to sleep at the Stanley Cup?
Would I like to sleep? I don't think so. A lot of germs. Not a good time for germs either, but...
The Tampa Bay Lightning will let you sleep at the Stanley Cup for $5,000.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, you have it for what, 8 hours overnight or something?
The team announced a room and boards experience where a group of up to 6 fans can use an Airbnb to book a night with the greatest trophy in sports. The setting is a luxury loft at the arena that's been converted to a fantasy suite complete with 3 beds and a 1.5 baths.
All right, so I'm sure it's going to be behind ropes. Like, you can't, like, drink out of it or raise it or, you know, the watchers of the cup. It's not like it. But it does sound like a really cool experience, doesn't it? I mean,
this is what you get. List the benefits for the room and board's promotion. Spend the evening with the most famous trophy in sports. Pop champagne during your own private happy hour. Enjoy a five-course champions feast. Get your own personalized player stall in the Lightning locker room. Enjoy a private skate on the ice.
Look, it's expensive, $5,000, but I think that's a really good value if you've got that money. Because, like, you're skating on their ice. You're sleeping in their stadium. You're getting a five-course meal, you said?
Yes, you get to set off the sound of the goal siren. You get to take a Zamboni ride and get up close to the pipe organ. Who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Catch a movie on the humongous Lightning Vision screen.
How many people is this up to?
Up to six. Group of up to six.
So you split it and, and then you're under $1,000 per person.
Yeah. How about that?
I think that's cool. So it's not an auction item. It's $5,000 and you get to do it?
Yeah. Why don't you go down to Tampa and do it?
Well, but I'm not a Tampa fan. I mean...
Well, it's
the same cup.
It's the same
cup.
That's
the point,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Right, that's true.
Can you just bring a bunch of Blackhawks gear?
You know, one of the coolest experiences the Hawks used to let us do early in their run, this was during the 2010 playoffs, when they were playing Vancouver on the road, they allowed media members to go to the United Center to watch the game on the scoreboard at the UC, and we got to skate. So Carmen, me, and Zetterman... While the Hawks were playing a playoff game, we were allowed to skate on the United Center ice, and they invited a bunch of media people to do it.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say
you take your ladies with you. Did you take the ladies with you?
I did at the time. This was before my wife.
Oh, it was a different lady.
Yeah, this was right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that.
We
up.
Didn't
PA.
Meet until
it was,
the
it was PA pre alley.
There you go. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was the time they brought the Stanley Cup in and people, like, brought their kids.
I brought
like
my
it was,
kid,
like
yeah.
It was Santa.
We have a picture of Mason crying inside the Stanley Cup.
Inside the cup?
He's in the cup.
Well, he's crying because he knows just how filthy it is.
Get me out of here, you psycho.
Canadian lawmaker caught naked during a video conference. How many stories have we had about
that? How are we still getting stories about this, people?
I mean, like, seriously.
Why are you naked?
A Canadian parliament member was caught stark naked in a virtual meeting of the House of Commons.
Put some pants on. Put some sweats on.
You know you're having a meeting.
Fully naked.
It's on. Like, come on.
Fully.
Now. I thought the camera was off.
This was an unfortunate error, William Amos said in a statement sent by email. My video was accidentally turned on and I was changing into my work clothes after going for a jog.
Don't do that. I mean, again, you got a Zoom meeting. Get some pants on.
Yeah, I'm with you. You
want
to play a
change,
game?
Don't poop. Don't do any of that stuff.
Let's play a game.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Make sure you use promo code
Chicago for 20% off and free shipping.
I have a feeling in order to achieve this guy had to do some manscaping.
What?
A man escaped a hospital after getting into the hospital by trying to smuggle a cell phone. For those in the know,
he tried to get out of the hospital.
He was already in jail.
Okay.
And he was trying to smuggle a cell phone. So he had to go to the hospital. And then he tried to have it removed. And then he had to go to the. And then he escaped from the hospital through the ceiling.
I like it. Well, I don't like it, but I mean, that's creative.
I'm going to go Hamilton County, Ohio.
He used the dirty phone.
It's not the bat phone.
I'm going to call that
the ass phone.
I'm going Youngstown, Ohio.
Like a butt phone.
Is that burner? Does that count as a burner?
Only on the way out.
Listen. I was going to try to joke, but now I'm like, it's going to pale in comparison.
Yeah, you can't.
I was going to say that it is the epitome of a butt dial.
Wow.
You think it was?
Dude, wow. Like, look at your... Okay.
It's a burner only on the way
everybody,
out.
That's everybody listening right now, whether you're at home, you're driving, I'm not telling you to get on your phone. I'm just saying, look at your phone.
That ain't getting in there.
It's wide.
Yeah. It's got to be a burner phone, right? Yeah. It's got to be one of those, like, cell phone, like a flip phone, like one of those Nokia ones.
You're
yeah.
desperate, though.
There's Does no it? Way.
Like Does a bear it? Searching
there's
for
no
a quarterback.
There's no way.
Right, where is this?
Miami, Florida.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. A good story, though. Very good. Awesome
was
stuff.
It?
Yeah, it was really? A good story. It was creative. I thought it was interesting. In 2 minutes, we're going to talk to Chuck. Chuck Garfine. His pre and post is a fantastic show.
Oh, it is fantastic. About,
and here's what I want to know, especially from you, Abdallah. Would you like to taste the Yerminator? That in 2 minutes.